A green prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so to give unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. And we say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that the truth of your word is with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion, there is no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this morning. I will declare and decree that at the end of today's meeting of saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, let's start from 1 Corinthians. What series are we looking at? What series are we looking at?
Spiritual.
Spiritual gifts. Say, I'm spiritual.
I'm spiritual.
I act spiritual.
I act spiritual.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So what we're going to do now?
1 Corinthians.
Have I said that already?
Yes, sir.
Okay, 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We should be wrapping up this series in the coming days. We trust we're going to have a good time explaining and understanding God's word. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, concerning spiritual gifts. Brethren, I will not have you to be what?
Ignorance.
Now, remember we said something that the Corinthians were people who did not come behind in what? Any of the gifts. All together. Right? Look at verse chapter 1. Go back to chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Are you 1 Corinthians 1?
Yes,
if God goes to verse 6, he says, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming. So it means that ideally the Corinthian church was a church that had a demonstration of the Spirit. Is that true?
Sure.
Yeah, they had it. And you know, even with them having it, Paul still thought it necessary to tell them in chapter 12, verse 1, go back there, not to be ignorant regarding the what? Things of the Spirit. How many church this morning? Are we in church this morning?
Yes, sir.
Anybody hungry?
No, sir.
You're supposed to say yes for the word.
No,
you're hungry for the word?
Yes, sir.
Okay, stay there. You stay there with the word to the end of the week. Well, so look at 1 Corinthians 12 again. Now concerning spirituals, I would not have you to be ignorant. Look at chapter 4, verse 4, sorry. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. He says, now there are what? Diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Altogether, there are differences of administration, but the same Lord, and there are diversities of what? Operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But manifestation of the Spirit is given to every what?
Man.
Is that every believer?
Yes.
To profits, for profitability. Right, so what do you now say about the gifts of the Spirit, verse 8? We've explained this over and over and over again. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah? So he says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, and to another the word of what?
Knowledge.
By the what?
Same
Spirit. Now, he says, to another is given what? Faith. Another is what? Gifts of healing. Another is the working of what?
Miracles.
Another is what?
Prophecy.
Right? Next is what?
Discerning
of spirits. And next is what? Diverse kinds of tongues, right?
Yes.
Now, in your Bible, do you have the word diverse there?
Yes.
You have the word diverse in your Bible. what's different with that word in your Bible? It's an italics, right? So what does it mean more often than not? It's not there in the original, okay? So dynamics, diverse there is not there in the original. So how do you read that? Kinds of tongues. Is that true? So another interpretation of tongues. Do you remember on Wednesday we looked at something? What did we pay attention to majorly? Tongues as an expression of? Tongues as an expression of what?
Tongues
as an interpretation of what? As an expression of?
Rest.
Do you remember that teaching? Where did you teach it from? Tongues as an expression of rest. Isaiah chapter 28, right? And what did we do with that scripture? We went back to how Isaiah as a prophet spoke about how God mentioned he's going to communicate with tongues. We said tongues is for a what? A sign, if you remember that. We said tongues is for, let's go talk about that. Go to what? Go to 1 Corinthians 14, 21 first. 1 Corinthians 14, 21. In the law, it is, are you your Bibles? In the law, it is what? Written with men. So in the law, what is the law? Ten Commandments? Law is what? The law. The word of what? The word of God through Jesus. That's new. Yeah? What is the law? Now, we've explained over time that the word law does not always mean instruction or commandment. Right? For instance, there's a law in this building that says that once you drive through that entrance, a camera scans your plate number, so a law states that you should put your plate number where it needs to be put. Okay? That's the idea of law we have in our word. However, we've said over time that the word law, a lot of times, is the word used in the Greek as nomos. And that actually speaks about doctrine. So, until we see law of Moses, we don't associate the word law with Moses, always. Did you get that? Until you see the word, the name Moses, attached to the word law, we don't just attach the word law to Moses. Because a lot of us just believe that law simply means Moses. You know, how many of us grew up learning Moses gave the law and Jesus gave grace? You know that now? Yeah, the law was given by Moses. Grace and truth came by Jesus. We've taught that before severally. John chapter 1 is in the Bible. Right? So you see people say that, we're not under... You see, Moses was a lawgiver. But you see, when you talk about grace, grace is Jesus. Right? Without Jesus, you can't understand grace. Let me tell you. Jesus, the man you call grace, explained grace from the writings of Moses. All together. We said the word there, law, is what that means doctrine. Right? It could mean writings. It could mean documentation. It could mean scriptures. Right? So when Bible says that the law was given by Moses, the truth is that what the Bible is really saying is that the doctrine of Moses is that grace and truth will come by or will be revealed or be expressed or seen in humanity by Jesus. Are we together? Right? So when the Bible says in the law it is given, it is written, your mind must not go to only Genesis to... you fell for it. Genesis to Deuteronomy. That's the first five books. Who wrote Genesis? Moses. Who wrote most of Exodus, most of Leviticus, most of Numbers, most of Deuteronomy? Moses. Right? Who wrote Isaiah?
Isaiah.
Okay. Who wrote Ezekiel? Okay. So is the book of Ezekiel part of the law? Okay? Is the book of Ezekiel part of the law of Moses?
No, sir. Yes.
No. You are acting like yours because you know your husband. You want to try and use the front door that you know me from. The way you answer is that you are hard to say that's familiarity. You are asking for a bit of familiarity. The way she just said it, she didn't. I know where this mother is going to. No, you don't. No. And even if you knew, I would change it. It's my decision. Are we together? So is Ezekiel part of the law?
Yes.
Okay. Is Ezekiel part of the law of Moses?
Yes.
Okay. If he says yes, it's yes. Oh, God's powers. Okay. So now, the law that is being spoken about in 1 Corinthians 14. Is that the law of Moses?
No.
Yeah? So what can you replace that word law with?
Doctrine.
Can you say scriptures?
Yes.
Can you say writings?
Yes.
So where is Paul teaching from? The scriptures. And where did we say he was teaching from when we saw that on Wednesday? Isaiah. So go to Isaiah 28 quickly. Are you in Isaiah 28? Okay. So if you look at Isaiah 38, Look at verse 11. Are you there? Now, it says, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak unto these people. So who is the he that is speaking? Who is the he that is speaking? Who is the he? Are we here? Okay, go to open up. I'm sure you have your hands in First Corinthians, right? Yeah? So you go to First Corinthians 14:21. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips, right, will I speak unto these people, and yet for all they will not hear me, saith
the Lord.
Okay, so who is talking? Isaiah 28? God, the Lord, and will be seen as an utterance from the man Isaiah. Right? So go back to Isaiah 28. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to these people, to whom he said, this is rest, wherewith ye may cause the weary to what? Rest. And this is refreshing, yet they will not what? They will not hear. Right? He says, this is rest, right? This is refreshing, yet they will not hear. Okay? So, what did we say? We said that, in what was that for? As that for them, 1 Corinthians 14, it says, wherefore, tongues are for a sign. So, what is a sign? What is a sign? What is a sign? Gospel, what is the sign? I mean English. I didn't say what's the Greek word for sign. What is a sign? A sign is something that points to something, right? So when you are coming through, if you're coming through maybe the A720 road or the M8 road, you have a sign that shows you Stirling, Glasgow. All together. When you get to that sign, is that Glasgow? Is that Stirling? What is that? Is a pointer to where Stirling is. So it means that the pointer will change or point your attention to something else. So when tongues is expressed, what is that? Paul says it is a sign. Right? So it means that tongues, when demonstrated, is a
sign.
So just like that signboard, tongues is a sign. So it means that when tongues is expressed, it points your attention to something else. So what is the attention tongues is pointing man to in Isaiah 28 and 1 Corinthians 14? Rest? Rest? Is that rest? So it means that when a man speaks in tongues, it's a Mark 16, these signs. And what did he call among the signs? They shall cast out devils and they shall speak with tongues. Mark 16, I just read 15, 16, 17. So is tongues a sign?
Yeah.
So when you have a sign, what does that make? What should that let you know that there's something else? So when tongues is expressed, is a sign to something else. What did Isaiah say is the something else?
Rest.
Refreshing. What is rest? I could talk this on Wednesday. What is rest? What is another word for rest? Sleep. What is another word for refreshing? What is another word for rest?
Relax.
Okay, what is the Bible, another Bible word for rest? Salvation. We saw that on Wednesday. Go to Hebrews 4. So when the Bible says God rested on the seventh day, how many of you know that story? On the seventh day, God rested. What is the rest speaking about?
Salvation
now. So was it God that was resting on the seventh day?
No, we are resting in God.
Look at that. Look at Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. No, not Hebrews 11. Hebrews 4, sorry. Look at Hebrews 4, verse 11. Look at Hebrews 3, verse 11. Let's read it down. Hebrews 3, 11. Are we here?
Yes,
Hebrews 3, 11. So I swore in my wrath that they shall not enter into
my marriage.
So does God have rest to give?
Yes.
When God talks about rest with man, what does God want man to do?
Enter
enter. Are we together? What did God do through Jesus Christ to give man salvation? So by saying God gave man Jesus, God gave man rest. So what is rest? Rest means to come into God's saving plan. So what did Hebrews 3 say? So this is from Psalm 50, from Psalm 95, verse 7 downwards. You can read that at your leisure. So it says, I swore in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest. So follow attentively, oh, right? Listen, oh, I swore in my wrath they will not enter into my rest. So who has the rest? God has the rest. Okay? Who is supplying rest? God. Who is resting? Man. So God rested on the seventh day. Who is resting on the seventh day? Man in God. That is man in salvation. All together. Right? So the seventh day will be used to teach about the day the Lord has made. You remember that? Notice some. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our sight. This is the Lord's doing. That's Psalm 118. Right? It also says, the stone which the builder rejected. What is the stone the builder rejected? Become the chief cornerstone. God supplying rest to man. Right? It also says, this is the day the Lord has made. So the day the Lord has made is the day of rest. What happens on the day of rest? God rests or man rests?
Man rests.
So the Bible will tell you, come unto me, those who are what? Heavy laden, and I will what? Give you rest. Are we here today? I'm recapping Wednesday. Yeah. So it says, they will not enter my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. So what does it mean not to enter into the rest of God? To be unsaved, that means you've not believed. Look at verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of what? Unbelief. Right? Look at verse 15. While it is said, today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, how be it not all that came out of Egypt by Moses? But with whom he was grieved for how many years?
40 years.
Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? Look at verse 18, let's together, 1, 2, 3, go. And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not. Okay, so listen to me, everyone watch me. So imagine I say, man will not enter into my rest. I swear. I'm using the word swear in our words, they casually. Okay, so you know how we say I swear? Well, let the lesson we learn. Right? How many of you used to do, you know, used to touch the floor? Is it not you? We used to that one, you know, we used to. I know people used to do when we were smaller. Yeah, I never did it actually, because it didn't make any sense to me. Use one finger and touch sand. And here, light the light small bit. And you'll be lying. And I know you're lying. And you touch sand. Right? Yeah, so if I say, you will not enter into my house. Oh, listen to me. Yeah? You will not enter into my house, I swear. Yeah? What man can take from it is as if I'm the one stopping you from entering. Are we together? However, the door is open. And I say you should come in. Right? But you chose not to come in. Who is stopping you?
Yourself.
Yeah? So you not coming in is your unbelief. Are we together? So when the Bible says God swore that they will not enter into his rest, what is he talking about? That man, because of their unbelief, will not find rest because they reject rest. That's why it says, and to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest? For actually it is to them that believe Lord. Now look at verse 19. So we see. Can I see verse 19? That makes it clear. What does that? Let's see verse 19 together. Everyone, let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. So we see that they could not enter in because God stopped them. Because of unbelief. So why will man not enter into the seventh day of God? Unbelief. So who is a man that is in the seventh day of God? The one that believes. So what does a man do in the seventh day of God? He rests. So what is the... Another way of resting is what? Another word for resting is what?
Salvation.
So a man that rests in God is a man that is saved. Are we together? Right? And we said tongues is a sign of salvation. I jumped faster. I said tongues is a sign of what? Yeah, tongues is a sign of something to come. Yeah? But what is tongue a sign of in 1 Corinthians 14? Rest. So tongues is a sign. So when tongues is spoken, what should order? What is the message behind it? This is rest. This is refreshing. This is rest. This is salvation. Are we together? So, why did they not enter into his rest? Because of their unbelief. So, it means that God supplies rest to humanity, but man can choose to receive it or man can choose to reject it. Are we together? And anyone that receives it is in rest forever. Now, so you see, a believer is one that stays in rest. Are we together? So, is there any time in your life that you're about your spiritual faith, about your stand with Christ, that you're unsettled?
No.
Are we together? So, man is not unsettled. Are we together? Because man is
in
rest. So, where is rest found? In God, in Christ. Are we together? So, are we people of rest? So, what sign should come out from us that rest? Tongues. See, why do you think Paul came to a local church and said, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all? Why did Paul come in 1 Corinthians 14? He looked at the church, he wrote a letter to them. He says, I thank my God that I speak in tongues more than you all. Do you know what it is? It means that regardless of the knowledge Paul had about their private lives, he was rest assured that he flowed a lot in tongues. That's why we say tongues is like a startup. It is a starting point with a starter pack. Are we together? Every believer, once you come into Christ, what can you do? That you cannot remember anything about your life, you can talk in tongues. Why? Because it is part of that which you've received. Paul now says, when men talk in tongues, he says, for tongues is a sign. Look at 1 Corinthians. No, hold on. Let's finish from here. Sorry. I don't want to come back here. So, look at verse chapter 4, Hebrews 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of us enter into his rest, and you should seem to what? Come short of it. So how does a man come short of the promise of rest?
Unbelief.
Are we together? So can you come short? Can you come short?
No.
Can I come short?
No,
because we've already passed. We believe we're in rest.
Yes.
Are we together? Now look at verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached. So what is the message of the gospel? God wants you to rest. Come. So you can go to the street and say God loves you. You can as well say God wants you to rest. Because rest is the message of the gospel. Yeah? So, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with what? Faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do what? So is that you and I?
Yeah.
So who are the we in verse 3? Everybody on earth?
No.
Believers. For we which are believed to enter into rest, as he said, I have sworn in my wrath, that if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation
of the world.
Foundation of the world. Another way to say that is what?
The beginning.
Is that Genesis?
Yes.
Is it in Genesis you have God rested on the seventh day?
Yes.
Did Moses write God rested on the seventh day?
Yes.
Did Moses write God rested on the seventh day?
Yes.
What is Moses teaching?
Salvation.
That means God wants man to rest. So, if you go to Genesis chapter 1 and start saying, day 1, animals, day 2, fish, day 3, you will miss the point. If you feel like, you know, some of us grew up believing that Jesus, you know, after God created everything, God now, you know, he now got into the garden. He now removed his canvas, you know, his boots. He now wore Jalamiya. You know Jalamiya? You know what Jalamiya is? Yeah, what people use as nightgown. Yeah, he now wore Jalamiya and wore bathroom slippers. And I started walking in the garden. I made hibiscus. Wow. Then the angels will now say, yes, you see. You say, me? What animal is that? It has different colors. What is that? Giraffe. But it looks like an animal. What's the other animal I saw that time? Cheetah. I made everything. Well, let me go and sleep. So, God did not cease from his work. Are we together? Rather, God supplied an opportunity for man to cease from his work. That is why you don't satisfy God, right? Your receiving of God's life is not based on how perfect you live.
Yes.
Are we together? Right? So some people struggle to get to rest. We don't struggle to get to rest. We start from rest. There's a difference. Right? We start from, so our disposition from the beginning is rest. Right? So Hebrews now says, he says, from the foundation of the world, the works were finished. Look at this. Look at verse 4. It says, for he spake in a certain place of the of the what? Seventh day. Is that what I just explained?
Yes.
Genesis chapter 1, right? We grew up believing 7th day was the day of what? Rest. But what is Hebrews saying? Hebrews is saying God's resting on the 7th day is for man to come into God's rest. All together. Right? So it actually, if you look at verse 4, verse 10, Hebrews 4:10. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from what? His own works as God from his. Right? Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of what? Unbelief. So is that for the believer? No, now. Are we together? Right? So the unbeliever is one that should come into God's rest. The believer is one that is in God's rest. 1 Corinthians 14. I don't want to dwell on that today. So how many believers can speak in tongues?
All.
How else can we say it?
All believers
in rest can speak in tongues. All together. Look at 1 Corinthians. So look at verse 22. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign. Is that, are you there? 1 Corinthians 14:22. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. Why is it not a sign for them that believe? Because we're in rest, beautiful. So it is a sign for them that do not believe because they are not in rest. But because we are in rest, it is not a sign to us. So wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. So prophesying not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. So what did Paul now say in verse 23? If therefore the whole church will come together, are we together in one place? And all speak with tongues. So can everybody here speak in tongues? And there comes in an unlearned. Will they not say thou art mad? Are we together? He says, but if I prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not and unlearned, he is convinced that and he is judge of all. And the secret of his heart made manifest. Now I'm going to put attention to that verse today. And does the secret of his heart. So can the secret of a man's heart be known?
Yes.
Can information, private information about people be known? Can things that you've not told anybody be known by another? Is it possible? Is it possible? Yeah. So it means that there are secrets of the hearts of men that by God's Spirit we can know. Right? So we're looking at word of knowledge, we're looking at the revelation gifts, and that's what we've been paying attention to recently. And we've looked at word of knowledge. We're looking at word of knowledge still today. We'll try and see what we can do and to wrap up that narrative today, right? But before you go there, look at Romans 6, verse 3. Romans 6:3. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Romans chapter 6, verse 3. It says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus were baptized into his death? Now, what does it mean to be baptized into Jesus? To come into rest. Are we together? Right? So, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in what? Newness of life. Everybody, let's read verse 5 together. 1, 2, 3, go. For if we are planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. So, I'll read verse 6, read verse 7, I read verse 8, read verse 9, I read verse 10, read verse 11. Is that correct? So, what verse are we in now? 6. So, am I the one starting? Beautiful. Knowing that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. It's freed from sin. Verse 8. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Verse 9.
Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead, dead no more, dead have no more.
For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he lives unto God. Verse 11 together, 1, 2, 3, go. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed to sins, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ. So, is the saint alive? is a saint. So who can be more alive than a saint to God? Who is more alive unto God than a saint? Huh? Who is dead to God? Unbeliever. So can a man be breathing and is panting and is dead?
Yeah.
Are we together? So a man, that means there are two types of death. Are we together? There is physical death. There is what? Spiritual death. Right? Was there death in Genesis? Physical? It has to be what? Spiritual. Because the man who was proclaimed as dead lived for hundreds of years after that. You get that? So there is physical, there is spiritual death. Right? We will understand to a large extent the concept of physical by understanding the concept of spiritual. And I've thought over time that the use of spiritual death in the Bible is better understood as a separation, to stay away from. Right? So Moses will write in different ways. Moses will say that God drove them out of the garden. Yeah? And Cain, you'll find out that we're talking about how Cain was away from the garden and away from the presence of the Lord. Right? But you see that in the real sense, when man, you see, a lot of times, have you ever heard the doctrine that says Jesus came to redeem man from spirit, from poverty? That because Christ died, I'll be rich. Is that not it? You've not heard that doctrine before? Oh, you've not? That's good. When the Bible says that Christ died for our sins, so people teach it that when Christ was resurrected, it's because the Bible says that he was rich so that I might be. He was made poor so that we can become rich. So yeah, people say, because I'm in Christ, I will have anything I want to have. Because I'm in Christ, if I want the jet tomorrow, it's only because as I was talking to someone that day, I want the other day, I said, why don't you have a car? He said, I don't want it for now. Oh yeah, I want it for me. just want it, while collect it, give me. He said, no. You see, when God died for the sins of man, when Adam sinned, poverty came to rule. You know, and people talk with audacity. The poverty came into the earth by the sin of Adam. Then Christ came to redeem us from the curse of the law. I wonder I said that one. Christ came, you're asking the brother, why is he still poor? You know the brother. Right? You know, people who are rich don't argue with this nonsense doctrine. They don't have time. People don't know where they got them, but they know. It's you that you are still. You know, man likes hope. Hope is hope. Man wants. And that's why he says things can happen to people, and people just want to. Because they want to feel okay, they find a reason. Yeah? You miss your flight. You say God was saving you from destruction. You're now going online to check if the plane will crash. You're not going to check online to play with Christ. You miss your flight. You go to the place, you don't know you paid for 2 kg. You carry 45 kg. And you go to the airport. I say, maybe some clothes God wants to. So prosperity is, see, a Christian who dies poor is the one that allowed it to happen to her. Or him. A Christian, you see, while on earth, we are to do. But the gold of heaven is made with the streets of heaven is made with gold. God walks on gold. God, what God does,
with gold.
We see gold. We see gold dust. Gold dust everywhere. The Bible says, "I will lay up dust like gold, because I'm like my papa, my father is the creator of the heavens and the earth. 10,000 cows on 10,000 hills belongs to my father." I thought to give me 10. You see? So you use ourselves to encourage ourselves. You know, so people teach that doctrine because they believe that when Adam sinned, poverty came into the earth. But let me just ask you one question. Who is the child of Adam?
Cain.
Cain and Abel. Right? Did Cain do something bad?
Yes.
Was Cain wealthy?
Yes.
Bible says Cain had estates. Cain killed somebody. King. We've not killed anybody. King. Right? What happened to Abraham? Abraham was a man of wealth. Not because he sowed seed. Are we together? You see, in their world, the law of their world will be transgenerational. And their world, a lot of times, will be from wars and fightings. Yeah? Let's imagine you're living in a city, right? And the next neighbor, you see that they have something great. What do? You go there with your armed men and go and fight. And what happens when everybody's dead? You carry all their properties, including their women and children. And they become yours. Bible says Abraham went with 314 trained men. Do you know what it is to feed 314 people? It was not easy in this world. Right? And he was coming back and met a man called Melchizedek. And what did the Bible say? He gave him a tenth. People say, you know, Abraham gave a tenth. What happened? Abraham was very rich because he gave a tenth. You see? And that's why Christ came to redeem us from the curse of law. That I will never be poor again. Is that true? Yes. But the problem is that you don't understood that what happened earlier on was a spiritual death, not physical death. So it means that that which God will come to redeem for man will not be physical but spiritual. If you don't understand the difference, you will mix it up together. So people hear us say this kind of thing, and what they are hearing from us is that we don't believe in miracles. No, that's not the case. The word I want to say is bad, but let me keep it there. You are being interesting. Are we together? So when the Bible says that we are alive unto God, it is that we have now come into newness of life and received of his life by believing in the message of his rest. Altogether. So who is that who is alive unto God in this place today? Me, right? Yeah? So if you are alive unto God, what is the basic thing you can start with as a believer?
Tongues.
So is there any believer that cannot speak in tongues?
No.
See, the reason why believers don't speak in tongues is because they've learned a lot of wrong doctrines and loaded their heads with it. Altogether. They've learned a lot of things. You know, people say, I don't want to speak in tongues because I don't want to blaspheme. Yeah, so we grew up learning that blasphemy against the Holy Spirit means that when you speak tongues, that is fake. That's from your mind. Have it together. No, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit actually means to reject rest. It means to reject rest. So a man that rejects rest, that's why they say it is the unpardonable sin. Yeah, it is the unpardonable sin. That means the only way man can be in rest is through the gift of the Spirit given. If you don't receive the gift of the Spirit, you can never be associated or found in rest in Christ. Because the proof of rest is found in the giving of the Spirit. Altogether. So let's quickly wrap up today word of knowledge. Let's see what we can do on word of knowledge this evening. Now, basically, we said that word of knowledge deals with information from the present into the past. Are we together? So it means that we can say word of knowledge is primarily full of information. Can we say word of knowledge is informative?
Yes, sir.
Full of information, is that true?
Yes,
right? Information regarding the present into the past. Are we together? Right? Now, the second one is word of wisdom. I would say word of wisdom usually speaks from the present into the future. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Right? So can we say word of wisdom is directional? It gives direction for tomorrow. It gives direction for the coming days. So usually, when you minister with word of knowledge, right, the best thing for you to do rather is to always remember that you don't just end with giving information. Altogether. You know, we can have a meeting, for instance, where I come and tell you the truth about yourself by the Spirit. And the moment everybody says, hey. You see, I was watching a video, something in passing, and Sister Steph said something. You know, a man was ministering word of knowledge, and people were clapping in the church. So she was now saying, why are they clapping? I was like, do you know that it is because you are well taught? That is why you are seeing that what they are seeing is not special. Do you understand? That's what knowledge does for you. You go to a meeting, only the pastor is seeing visions, only the pastor is having revelation gifts, only the pastor is operating in the gifts of the Spirit. People are clapping. They should clap because it's strange. But you will not do like that because in your mind you're like, he taught us this thing. We do this thing normally now. So imagine if every saint is ministering word of knowledge, everybody's clapping. You see, it doesn't follow. Right? So let's see. One of the things you should hold dearest in your life is not your work. It's not your car. It's your local church. You will find yourself in a place where God's word is placed as priority. Hold it with all of your heart. Let me tell you for free. The devil will come with so many tactics to get you to be distracted and to get yourself out of the picture. Or to get yourself to be, you will look, somebody can just, you know people, they say, I don't like this, that family used to greet me. Why she open her eye wide when she's greeting me? Why is the eye opening?
It's like I see you well.
It's like I see you well. As you know, people can just say, I don't like that you're there. They're not warm. That's the truth. You see, so you in your heart, you know that what you are learning in God's palace is not something that you find everywhere. And it, mind you, it's not only God's palace that this is done. But because of the world we are in, they've made a lot of frivolities look like the normal. People now choose church because of AC. AC. I'll leave it there. You choose church because they have keyboard. Why do you like going to that church? You see, I like that they have the latest keyboard. You choose church because of camera. You want to snap me. The way I come out, I didn't know I used to look like that. The way you see camera coming towards you, just I saw one lady one day. Camera was coming towards her. I was open, she was not seeing the Lord. And if unfortunately, you know those cameramen, they are very terrible. They will point to you that you close your eyes, you do not know that they've not gone. The camera was now still there. You know his face is like this. Oh my goodness. That one now, they will start that one. She will go to the Instagram page and go and speak it and go and pray. I serve the Lord. You that we saw on the camera like this, looking up and down. And sold out. Sold out. That's the, this brother knows a lot of captions. Sold out to the, for the kingdom. Right? So, we now see people choose things differently. Some people choose the culture because of girls. Because of boys. Someone told me that, they attend a church where they teach sound doctrine and parallelism sound doctrine, but the person decides to go for another service because there are more girls there. Paul says, when you come together, everyone has a psalm, everyone has a tongue, everyone has a revelation. But in our world, the way you come together, you have, I remember, we made a mistake. Let me say the bully. In Christ's head, 4-6 years ago, one of our brothers in church went to go and gather women. I'm not joking with you. Gather women and give them skirt and trousers. I was in Christ's head, second edition or first edition. And the women came. They hired them. All of them were the same uniform. They stood at the door. They said, welcome to church. Yeah, remember? In my head, I didn't know that was what was happening. They went to go and hire Usha. Hire. A lot of them now stood at the door. They now line up with the same uniform. People were now coming. Please, can we register you? Please, can we register you? I know that person got that idea from what he has seen somewhere else and not a mosque. He saw it in a church. No, let the woman just imagine we are worshiping here, and I put some of you at the door there to be raising flag. Welcome home. Will you come over and sit down there? You came to church, the door is closed, you don't even have anything to follow. You put welcome home. Put it down, father. We are glad you came. The things we see are funny. We are glad you came. And you carry cardboard, you are not listening to the message, you are not worshiping, you are not praying, you carry cardboard at the front of Novotel. We are glad you came. You feel at home. The things we do are ridiculous. Yeah? And imagine I now ask you, Sister Esther, people are driving, you now go to the car park, as soon as you see somebody is just coming to church, as soon as they are stepping down, you choke. As soon as they are closing the door, carrying their children, just to chuckle. Right? When church now finish, you follow them to their car. You snap them in their car, then you pump everything online. Who are you deceiving? Paul says, when we come together. You know, I told you, when you see those frivolities, you will see a limited flow of the Spirit. It's not a curse. Why? Because your attention is on somewhere else. Your attention is on something else. Somebody comes to your church 2 years, cannot even see in the Spirit. But you're doing welcome home. What is home about that? And maybe after maybe something, you know, say, Pastor, let's not do welcome, let's welcome to rest. Welcome to rest. That is, I should be what bewildered. How will you arrange people at the front of a local church? They are not edified, they are not singing, they are not praying, the word is being taught. That now there's a place for coordinating. But even at that, that's why, for instance, we have a streaming platform. They can connect with their phone, put their audio, and be doing, you know, something reasonable. But you know, as that one has ministry, you say ministry is great. Ministry is great by raising cardboard. That's service in the local church. Imagine one, every Sunday, I just ask three of you to come and meet me in the house. Meet me in the house with my jacket. As soon as I'm stepping out from the door, you now be snapping me, you now be videoing me. I'm now walking to the car. I say, see you at 10. Every Sunday. No, now you're canap. You're canap. More often than not, in those meetings, we don't have a mighty demonstration of the flow of God's power and God's spirit. It's very important we pay attention to what we need to pay attention to. And you know the funny thing, as a church or as churches, because we are painting a picture as though there is prosperity in Christ, that is why we do those things. We want you to know our church is prosperous. What happened? We're now going to stop our car back. I say, God is indeed here. What does that even mean? What is that? How do we even? How did we get? And you know, the reason why I'm saying this thing is so that tomorrow, if you see me attempting it, come and carry the video and come and show me. You remind me. Because I can't imagine how somebody will dress up, come to church, and your goal that day is to carry placard, welcome home. You didn't sing when the song was done. You didn't pray when prayer was done. When the message was ongoing, you'll be changing up. But they say, how was service? Service was great. So you see people, you know, I heard of a church where before you join the workforce, they vet your suit. That is the kind of suit you must wear. As a lady, they will tell you first, joiner starter pack is 3 pencil skirts, 2 gown, and 3 colors of top. That if you don't have it, and all of them must be fitted. Then what happened? So you allow people to join the workforce based on their beauty. Yeah? When somebody comes to local church, they say, ah, Pastor, I want to serve God. You in your mind already see how the person look. You know that this one cannot do in ushering. You see children class. I see an anointing over your life around children. What do you have to do with children? Maybe it's here you start. But when you ask somebody who does makeup, does anything, I say, wow. You know, this kind of face to welcome people to church with. Do you mind joining the workforce ushering? Even sometimes. So when you see the amount of things that are going on, you'll be sure to be like, how did we get here? What Paul left with us is, when you come together, it means as you were coming into this place, you had a sound, you had a tongue, you had a word of knowledge, you had a word of wisdom, you had a prophecy. As you were walking into this place, you had supernatural things to give. Do you get the point? So that must be what our focus is on. So when you see word of knowledge, for instance, as a gift, how can you not see? It shocks me. How can you not discern? You know, I was saying it last week. How can you not know a child your child should not play with? That's for starters. Do you understand? So you should be a Christian who you're born again today. You know, you can be born again now and see that the spirit in the next second. Because everybody who is born again now can speak in tongues in the next second. Yeah. All together. Yes, right? And how do you get better in these things? By practice. You see, when it comes to things of the spirit, we don't have professionals. We only have people who practice and practice. So, word of knowledge is primarily full of information about the past. So, that's why I say in our local church, we don't do, you know, when we identify people, we leave them there. No. We identify people, we tell them what God will have them do going forward. There's a reason for identification. Are we together?
sir.
Right? So the word of knowledge right gives, you know, I wrote this down here. The word of knowledge as a gift gives us knowledge about situations, gives us knowledge about solutions or people or conditions or circumstances. I would have added again. So word of knowledge gives us information or knowledge around situations, people, conditions. You know, people can struggle with certain conditions, right? And the word of knowledge comes in handy that you can identify it. So basically things that have taken place in the past. Things that have taken place in the past. All together. So this kind of thing can reveal, or this gift rather, can reveal the whereabouts of people. All together. You can know things about people. You can know where people are. You can know where people are coming from. You can know what people are doing. Yeah, you can know names. You can know where somebody is staying. You can know what somebody is doing. Remember, we've had that in our practical sessions in the past few weeks, right? When a brother mentions a name, another sister mentions a name, another brother mentions a name, I will connect everybody. I'll find out that it's about one person. That's what a local church is about. It's not about me. You know, I always tell you, as a pastor, what I've done over the years is to ensure that I don't become the center of focus when it comes to the demonstration of the things of the Spirit. Because what happens is eventually you're going to look at me as a God. No, the Spirit of God in me is the Spirit of God in you. Are we together? Right? Remember last week Sunday, for instance, right? We had a sister there who gave us a date. And the best sister asked, what is it about this date? Right? And what happened? People now looked into the calendar. And she now saw, now look at that, that was not a mistake. She now saw, the same sister now saw that this was what was happening around that date. Mind you, the same sister now told us the name of the person involved with that. Is that, it happened here now?
Yes, sir.
How can that be fake? So when you say things like that, what should it do to you? If a sister, I can tell you for free that sister probably has had 2 years ago, even in our midst, we all know where she ministered last year. And we saw where she ministered last week. Why? Because over time, she has practiced more. She has allowed the words we are teaching from again into her heart, and she flows with it. Are we together? So that's why when we come together, every one of you has a sound. That's why we don't come here and say, I don't know what to say. No, you know what to say. You know what to say. You can see the Spirit. You see, you can help a family solve an issue that has lasted for years just by seeing the Spirit. Just by telling them what to do. Just by telling them how to react, how to say, what to say. Right? So, you know, when it comes to word of knowledge, you know, you can actually have an open statement. There's a man, I remember the man I spoke about last week. What's that man again? William Branham. Right? Yeah? So, William Branham was the man, for instance. You know, there's a difference between when you say there's somebody here who has cancer. That's, is that not brilliant? That's brilliant. But imagine someone comes to him and he stands with him and he touches the person and he says, oh, you have cancer. This is your name. And he says, this is your name. This is your flat number. This is the street you live on. I was together. You know, it can be that definite. You can be that streamlined. But even if you have not gotten there, you can actually get up. You know, that's why some people say things. Do you want me to you see a video, for instance, of some people do things like this, right? Somebody comes to light them. Do you understand? There was a day I was ministering to someone randomly, and the person was trying to hide. I think I put this to Sheva temporarily. As a Muslim guy, you know, I was preaching to him, he kept bringing word, bringing doctrine, bringing Quran and all those things. And I just raised that to him. I just mentioned his, I can't remember the details of what I mentioned. I mentioned him like 4 or 5 details. Told him, this is what your mother is, this is what your mother does, this is what she does, this is your brother's name, this, you have this number. And he was saying it's not true. Until he now got to the point where he now asked me, if you know what you are doing is true, what's the name of my seventh or ninth brother? And I've told you, once you start saying, let me search in the spirit, they will search you. Why? Because you are now leaving edification, exhortation, comfort to show off. All together. So you can know things, you can know whereabouts. Do you know you can know where things are when they are missing?
Yeah.
You don't know? You can know where things are when they are missing. You can know where people are when they are missing. you know you can. Why? Because there is more to your eyes than your eye. There is more to your ears than your ears. There is more about you that's God's spirit on your inside. You know, you can know thoughts of people. You can know thoughts of people. You have people say they some people have a scientific name for it. They say is it astral projection or something like that?
Astral projection.
So there's no one word they call it. And so imagine I let someone try to explain what of knowledge out of them. He says because when you stare around people, their head emits information. So you are picking it. That's how far the devil can take somebody. You see, you can stand, once you just stand with time, you need dimension. You know, so you need to ensure, like I don't say, you don't allow these things to get into your heart. Don't allow these things to get into you altogether. So you can know things, even when it is impossible to know in the natural. Altogether. Yeah? Altogether. You can know things. You can see clearly. You can meet someone and just minister to them and just talk. And I've told you before, don't be looking for the one that is in quote correct. Don't be trying to impress. Just minister it and leave. Just drop it and leave. Just say it and leave. See, you don't know how many lineages you are saving by ministering the things of the Spirit to a person. You don't know how many families you are bringing back on course by ministering the things of the Spirit to one man, one woman, one lady, one young man. All together, right? So you can actually, you can know people's sicknesses, right? You can just know, you are struggling with this, right? You are battling with this. Right? You see, for instance, last week we had somebody say something about somebody who was battling with a cloth that was going to dry up. See, that's God's power at work. Do you get that? That's God's mighty power at work. You know, so you are too supernatural of a man, of a woman, to be acting ordinary. All together. Yeah? Now regarding things of free, word of knowledge and all these things, you know, when it comes to healing, there's sometimes you will feel certain things, but it's not about you. That's happened to me a couple of times when I'll be walking into church, and as soon as I'm walking into church, or maybe I'm going to minister anywhere, and as soon as I'm approaching the place, I begin to feel a pain somewhere in my body. Altogether, I remember there was a day I was ministering, I just came to church, and I just felt a very sharp pain on my back. I was walking down to Nigeria, I was walking into church to where I sit down usually, and as I was sitting down there, I just felt this, it was so strong. So I took up the mic when it was time for me to minister, and I just got on the stage and I was preaching. And as I was preaching, I just said, "Who has this pain?" And I explained the way the pain was. You know, and as soon as I laid hands on the person, the pain left me. And the person got healed. So it means your physical sensitivities can be that opened. Are we together? So there are some times, in fact, I could see there's somebody here. You've been having very strange dreams recently. Very strange dreams. Now, I'm going to say this to you. I'm not going to identify you, right? Very strange dreams. And these dreams you've been having, they come from a place of, let's say differently, it makes you scared when you wake up because somebody around your loved ones, you're always seeing somebody around, somebody who's a loved one around you in those dreams. And something terrible is happening. I'm not going to ask you to lift your hand. Just everyone, just keep down. Yeah? Reach out to me after church meeting today. Right? Yeah? You just been having very, very strange dreams. And you just wake up and you'll be sweating. You'll be panting. And you won't be able to sleep again for the rest of the night. How can we know that? By the Spirit. Altogether. You can describe something to someone and the person will be like, "How did you know my bedroom? How did you know my living room?" Yeah, how do you know? Why? Because you have eyes on the Spirit. Yeah, mind you, for every time you see these things, it is because God wants to show and express His love to another. Are we together? Are we here? Right? So we need to ensure that we get ourselves in a place to be sensitive to the word of the Spirit. Now, on the other hand, what's the word of wisdom? The word of wisdom is more about giving insights or wisdom for the future, for a situation. Giving insight, wisdom, direction for a situation, how to do something, what to do about something. So somebody asks you a question, right? Oh, there's a name you have to do with this. There are two names I'm going to minister to later on today, but I can see two names. One Priscilla, one is Isabella. Who has anything to do with that name? Isabella, Priscilla. You? Just you. It's you, right? You have those two names. Lovely. I should just say that I was going to minister to someone that has something to do with those two names. We'll look at that later on. How did I know that? Yeah, by the Spirit. I don't think I'm close enough to how to sense electronic ways. Yeah, I could just see two names and I was seeing her in the video, and I could see, I'm seeing somebody having to do something with a syringe. A syringe. I could say syringe. What does it have to do with any of them? Isabella's mom is a nurse. Beautiful. Well, are they staying together? Okay, so we can take it off from there, okay? Yeah. How did we do that? By the Spirit. Okay? Yeah, so you can know by the Spirit, know this. So what I've done now is word of knowledge. Yeah, I can take it, I should take it further from that. Because, okay, I've told you somebody's name. I've told you somebody else's name. Just like, what more can we do regarding that? Altogether, what more can we do regarding that? Yeah, glory to God forevermore. Yeah, so, now, a popular question people ask me is, how do you know what to say, Pastor? How do you say it, or how should I say it? Let me say it to you. There's nobody here, or there's nobody who's a believer that God doesn't talk to. There's not one person. Do you think, the mistake we make is that we pray to God to increase his volume. Meanwhile, we are the ones to reduce the distractions around us. Imagine if you were in this room and you had 5 radios talking and they were all loud, and I came into this room and I was talking to you. How would you hear me? You won't hear me. Do you understand that? You won't hear me. You won't hear me. Right? So how is your goal to ask me to increase my voice? No, now. What is your goal? Reduce each of the radios. Then what happens? I maintain the way I speak. So it means that knowing and seeing by the Spirit has to do with the inner heart of a man. The innermost man. So you just know. I always say it a lot of times. When you want to minister, you might not know what the conclusion is, but start. You might not know what the conclusion is. When I said about that in those names right now, I didn't know where I was going to go to, but I know now. But how do I know? Because I started. You know, I could have left this church today without mentioning that name. And we all go. Yeah, but you must ensure that you give yourself to starting. You must ensure that you give yourself to starting. Yeah, you just, without a doubt, you just know. Yeah, the same way you know without a doubt your name. That's the way it happens. You just know. You just be talking and just be saying the name. In the middle of a conversation, you just say the name. You know, and one of the things I said, I think the last week was that, you know, you can ministering in tongues and interpretation. And in your tongues and interpretation, we are hearing word of knowledge. All together. Yeah? You are giving a word of knowledge. You are talking about the situation. You are talking about a person. You are speaking about a person. You are speaking about something. You are speaking about the people. You are speaking about the family. You see, happy are you if you have friends who are in certain local churches, like her, for instance. What I'm going to say to her now will help her, our friend, who is not here. Are we here? Yeah? So you two, you should go and look for friends too. Abi? Yes, now. You should have friends as well. Who, in whatever they are serving God, they're not going to say, are you singing or what? Are you singing or what? Are you dancing or what? You can't share your head. Are you singing or what? So you want to praise God in the African way. When you use all that energy to sing God, it will be difficult to hear now. You will not, because what you hear is a drum. Yeah, so you need to ensure that you also have people around you, right? There are friends I have, the people I have who I just reach out, I just stay around them. I don't need to tell them anything. They pick it up. They just pick it up and just tell, just message them. Sometimes it just comes out casually. That's so I know those kind of friends that when I listen and we chat, I don't speak casually and I don't listen casually. Because they can just, and I do it for some of my friends as well. I'll just drop it there in passing. I remember someone with one of my friends, we have a group chat. You know, and I just saw a city in America, and I just saw something that was going to happen in that city, and I measured the city. So one of them on the group chat, his brother was, you know, going to travel to that city and gotten his visa and everything. And I just told him to do that before he goes, right? Like I always tell you, when you say those kind of things, don't be trying to say, let's see if actually something happened. You are just being unwise. It's been unwise. You can be driving one day, right? And just in a vision, a flash, you just see a car tumble. Just see a car tumble. And you're like, where did that come from? You know, I was traveling one day, I was driving somewhere in the UK, and I was alone in the car. And I saw where the map was asking me to go. And all of a sudden, instantly, I just heard, take the next exit. I believe I have gone past the stage of trying to double check if it's God's voice. And I just went to the next exit. You know what happened? When I went to the next exit, that added about 45 minutes to my trip. Now, I didn't go online. And when I got to my seat, what, BBC News, what happened on N1? So that when I now say, accident tumble, and I say, is that what God was saying? No, I didn't need to do that. Why? Because I've just gotten myself to a place to trust God's voice. And that's the way I also minister by the Spirit. I just say it by the Spirit. You can just say it by the Spirit. It's just a knowing you just have. You just have a name. You just say a condition. Right? You just like now, I'm seeing, for instance, a heart condition. And I'm seeing that person that's having a heart condition, you know, having to be on drugs for a while. Person has been on drugs for a while. Person is not here. It's somebody you know. Person has been on drugs for a while, right? And the thing is not getting better. But I'm going to say to that person to trust God's power more. Because something supernatural will happen. Now, not to stop the drugs, but to trust God's power more. You will just be talking and you will see it. And together, you will just be talking. Suddenly, you will just see it as a thought. You will see it as an impression on your heart. You know, and also the way you communicate it also matters. You know, sometimes you hear people say this, I can hear in my spirit. You see, something dropped in my spirit. May nothing drop in your spirit though. Because that spirit is a salvation spirit. Once you allow something to drop, you are tampering with your I'm just joking, but you can use a better word, right? I can sense in my heart. Yeah? Or I can see in the spirit, I can hear in the spirit. Yeah? But when something is always dropping in your spirit, when your spirit becomes a monster. Yes, you just have thought impressions. Right, you just see visions, you see pictures. I've talked to you about what people call deja vu. No, we don't do deja vu as believers. No, you can see things happen before they happen. Right, when I was much younger, I used to see things happen a lot before they happen. And I'm like, why am I having a word twice? Why am I seeing two different, why am I seeing one conversation two times? Until I believe in God's word, I found out that, oh, that's God showing me certain things ahead. I was together. Right, and you know, some of these things are things I watched my dad do. Yes, the doctrine of, you know, God's word was something he started learning, you know, before his transition. But I just saw that my dad was someone who, when they want to employ someone, they send names to him, and not for once did he fail. And they'll send him. Imagine your decision to work in the company is based on the prophet on the prophet scene. Right? And my dad would just go back and tell you, see this person, this is what this person has to do with this thing, and this person, what this person is struggling, this person will steal from you. You can know that by the Spirit. You can see that the Spirit. It's just a knowing. It's a knowing. You just see, you don't have to be spoken about it. You know, some of us believe that you only minister with you. What is good? You don't have to get all spoken about it. You don't have to get all spoken about it. You don't have to. You don't have to get all spoken about it. Glory to God forevermore. So it's by thought, by impressions, by pictures, by visions, you know, in your eyes you can see things, you know, but in the spirit you can see things ahead. All together. So what do? You reduce distractions around you. So the word of K is to know things, you know, we call it word of K sometimes. All together. What is word of K? Word of knowledge. Just give them one word of K. That's how we used to say some of my friends. Right? Just give one word of knowledge. Word of knowledge is to know something that we would have no natural ability to know. How do you know somebody has rashes on their back? How do you know? How do you know somebody has, you know, has a skin rash or a skin disease? How do you know when they are fully covered? You can only know by the eyes of the Spirit. Altogether. Altogether. So say I can see. Say I can see. Lift your hand. Say I can see. Say I know in the Spirit. Say my eyes are clear. Altogether. You know, you can be that definite, you can be that detailed. Right? And sometimes when you ask questions and nobody can really relate with, what do you do? You stay with what God wants you to say and you just say it. I took an example of one of the meetings we had in on campus there, then where, you know, I described the case of someone and the person was not there, but I could see in the spirit that the person was going to walk into the meeting. Remember that story, right? And I gave to them, you know what I said to people in church in that meeting? I said, the person I'm looking for will run into this meeting before the meeting closes. You were in that meeting. So the person will run into this meeting. And I said, to confirm that that's the person, her sister was born in 1989. Her mother's name is this. And I continued preaching. You know, At the time, I had already gone past the phase. I'm still going past it. Fast phase of trying to impress. I said it. When it was 5 minutes to the end of the meeting, nobody came. You know that kind of thing. You want to increase the meeting time. You want to meeting that's supposed to be 1 hour, maybe 2 hours, just to give more room. And I just stayed with it, and I just acted like nothing happened. Right? And as soon as she walked in, I remember I'd given everybody in that meeting information about her family. This is where your mother is, this is what she does, this is where your mother was born, this is the month of your mother's birth. I gave all those things and she was not there. So when I walked into church, as she ran to church, I was like, I'm sorry, I'm late, I'm sorry, I'm late. I said, that's fine. But you will put on the spot now. Yeah. What's your sister's name? So I asked her, what's your sister's name? She mentioned the name. I told Samantha, Samantha, something like that. I remember this was like 6 years ago. Where was she born? What was the mother's name? I saw one guy jump from the back, wanted to run out. He jumped from the back, wanted to run out. So all the questions that I had asked her were the information I gave before she came. How did I know? By the Spirit. Are we together? Why am I saying these things to you? To just keep, so that you can keep reminding yourself. I told you, remember, I mentioned one of those teachings I did that for you, remember here. If you've not listened to it, go back and look at that. It's under Concerning Spirituals 2023 edition, May. Just checked it. I was wearing a white top. Someone cut out the clip and sent it to me because those are one of the few meetings where you see, you know, God's Palace have those online. You know, my sister just came for the first time, never been to God's Palace, right? And we were giving her details. My mother was born here. This is your auntie. She's living in London, right? This was happening to her. This is the day. Two people were born in this month. You're here. The date of this. We gave those details, right? And she was shocked. Then we now say, this is what God will have you do. This is what you do after this. How can we see those things? It's just by the Spirit. The lady and her friends who came that day, eventually they met me after church. They're not asking questions. Huh? This did not say about me. I just said, that day we were just teaching. What, if you remember, if we were in that church in Madame Michelle that day, I was just teaching that you can stick with somebody and continue with that person. I just said, who has something to do with this name? There was a brother who sat here. Who responded that I was the one? I said, okay, that's fine. I said, but I'm seeing this other name. The brother could not relate. The sister said, oh, that first name is me, is my auntie in London. And this second name is me, is my this, is my that. I told her, I said, you see, I can see that you have this number of children, number of sisters, rather, number of brothers. You know, I, so wow, he's online. Let me tell you, that room is fake. That I will keep all those information in my head, I'm smart. That room is fake. You should cut cap for me. But you get the point. So the goal is to ensure that you just say as you see. You say as you hear. You say as you see. You say as you hear. Right? Yeah? So it's very important for you to ensure that you keep your eye. Now let's just go through a few examples in scriptures, you know, and just see. You know, I just see some scripture. Look at 1 Kings 18. 1 Kings 18. You can also go, and these things are things you use for evangelism. I've told you several times. I'll go up in evangelism, and as I'm about to minister to someone, I just mention their name, and if you're wondering how do I know their name, it's something that can happen. Something that can happen. Where did I say you go to? 1 Kings 18, let's quickly run through some of the scriptures today and see how far we can go. Next week, we'll pay more attention to the flow of the Spirit, okay? Let's just teach some things today. 1 Kings. Let's see. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 1 Kings 18. Look at verse 37. Hear me, O Lord, that these people may know that thou art Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offerings and burnt sacrifice and the woods and the stones and dust and lit up the water. No, I'm looking for look at chapter 19, sorry. 19:14. Yeah, 19:14-18. And he said, I have been very jealous of the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, and slain thy prophets with a sword. And I only left, and they seek my life and take it away. And the Lord said unto him, go return on thy way to the wilderness to Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael the king over Syria. Right? 16. And Jehu the son of Nimshi, Shalt thou anoint the king over Israel, Elijah the son of Shaphat, shall be prophet. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Israel shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have been bowed unto Baal, right? And every mouth which had not kissed him. So that knowledge or that information definitely is a word of knowledge. To get the number of people. Are you with me? And that's definitely a word of knowledge, named by the Spirit. If you look at 2 Kings chapter 6, 2 Kings 6, 8. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel, listen carefully, and took counsel with his servant, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God said to the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place. Is that word of knowledge? Yeah, to know where, so that means you can know where not to go. So the prophet of the king, man of God, said unto the king, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. How would they have known? By the Spirit, power of knowledge. Right? Look at verse 10. He says, and the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told them to be warned of, and saved himself there, not once, not twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore trouble for this thing. And he called his servant and said unto him, will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? Do you understand what's happening here? A king wants to do something terrible and he gives that information to his private people. However, the king of Israel is aware by the Spirit what the king of Syria wants to do. And the king of Syria now finds out that how did these people miss this trap? King of Syria now says, ah, it has to be that somebody around me is what? Is a betrayer. Are we together? You know, sometimes you can have, and that's why when you ministering to husband and wife, yeah, and what I've learned over time, when I'm listening to couples, I ensure I stay on the surface a lot. Except it is very intricate. Are we together? Just so that there's no doubt. You know, you can have some conversation with your wife. I remember there was a meeting we had one of these in the church here, and I spoke to the husband and the wife, the things they spoke about on Sunday morning. And I'm sure the only thing that made them not to realize that one of them told me what was happening was that it was Sunday morning it happened before Sunday service. So there could not have been ample time for me to get on the call to counsel. You can just know what people are. So it's very, sometimes people can begin to think that, how did pastor know what is happening in my house? Praise God. Yeah, so he says, and one of Sarah said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel, he telleth the kings the words that thou speakest. Did you see that? Please read it again. 1, 2, 3, go. And one of the seven, are we here going together? 2 Kings 6, right? Verse 11, verse 12. 1, 2, 3, go. And one of the seven said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha. He is the prophet that is in where? Israel. He tells the king of Israel the words that thou speak in your bedroom. Is that not supernatural? Are we together? Right? So you can know. It's just like what Peter did. Peter knew about Ananias and Sapphira and their conniving for the property they sold. You see, those kind of things, when husband and wife do, they don't tell their sister or brother. It's a private word. Information. So it means right from the book of Kings, you see that a prophet, prophet who? Elisha. So prophet Elisha can know what is happening in the camp of the enemy by the Spirit. Such that people that are around, you know that a king can kill all his servants because of that thing. A king can kill all his servants because he can say it's impossible for anybody to except somebody around us. Are we together? Right? So, if pastor or a member ministers to you in the local church, and maybe that thing the minister to you is something you've told only one person in the world, don't begin to think that it's that person that would. No, no, no. It's just that Elisha could see what was happening in the bedroom of the king of Syria. That's supernatural. Look at 1 Samuel 9 3. First Samuel chapter 9. Are you there? First Samuel 9, 3. And he had a son, verse 2, whose name was Saul, a choice young man and a godly, and a goodly. And there was not among the children of Israel that was goodlier person than he, for his shoulder and upward, he was higher than any of what? The people. And the asses of Kish, Saul's father, were what? They were lost. The asses, sorry. Yeah? And Kish said unto the Saul, his son, right, take now one of the servants with thee and arise and go seek the asses. That means something was missing. Is that correct? Yeah? And they passed through the Mount Ephraim and passed through the land of Shalisha, but they found not them. Then they passed through the land of Shalim, and there they were not. And they passed through the land of Benjamin, but they found them not. Look at verse 5. And when they were come to the land of Zoph, Saul said to his servants that was with him, come, let us return, lest my father leave carrying the, what? For the asses, and take thought for us. And he said unto him, behold now, there is in the city a what? Are you here? There is in the city a what? A man of God. And he is an honorable man. All that he says will surely come to pass. Now let's go to that. Peradventure, he can show us our way that we should go. What were they looking forward to see? Direction now. Are we together? Yeah. So would that be a mixture of word of wisdom and word of knowledge? Yes, now. So he will first tell them that's where your animal you are looking for is. Go through this way and do it, you'll find it there. So it means that the Spirit of God can shorten your distance in life. Is that true? Is that true? You know, I told you the story of somebody who, you know, by the Spirit, we just knew that not to take this job, take this job. And a few months down the line, weeks down the line, the entire company closed up. Yeah? So what did we do by the Spirit? We shortened his time frame. Because he could have gotten that job, he would have lost the job, then he would now go back into the market to look for another job. Which might take him 7 months, you don't know, 10 months, you might don't know, 1 year. So you can, by the Spirit, shorten distances. You can shorten long paths. Yes, just by yielding to God's Spirit. Look at verse 15 and 20. Now the Lord had told Samuel, the same chapter, 1 Samuel 9, 15, 20. Now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear a day before Saul came, saying, tomorrow, about this time, I will send thee a man. Is that not prophetic? Is that not prophetic? So these are in your Bible. So God told, so that means, so what we call deja vu in our world today? Is that not what was happening? God was telling Saul, see, by this time tomorrow, so it means you can be in a meeting. Have you not seen in our meetings sometimes? So people will say, for instance, I think the last meeting we had an experience like that. So what he said, when you are going for evangelism in the coming weeks, you will meet somebody with this name. You see that happen, right? Yeah. You say, oh, as you are going for evangelism, you will see somebody with this name and with these details. This is what you do. Same thing was happening here. Now the Lord told Samuel here, tomorrow about this time, I will send thee a man of the land of Benjamin. And thou shalt anoint him to be what? Captain over my people, Israel. Is that again? That he may save my people out of the hands of the Philistines, for I have looked upon my people because their cry is come unto me. And when Saul saw Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said unto him, behold the man who I spoke of before. Is that correct? Yes, yeah? This shall reign over my people. Right? Then Saul drew near to Samuel at the gate and said, tell me, I pray thee, where is the seer's house? And Samuel answered Saul and said, I am the seer. Go up before me unto the high place, for you shall eat with me today, and tomorrow I will let thee go, and will tell thee all that is in thy heart. Right? And as for thy asses, there that were lost 3 days ago. Are we here?
Yes, sir.
Are we here?
Yes, sir.
Let's read that verse again, verse 20. And as for that, let's read together. For your asses that were lost three. Hey, hold on. Your asses were lost 3 days ago. Is that word of knowledge? How did he know? Right? For your asses that were lost 3 days ago, what happened? Set not your mind on them, for they are found. And on whom is all the desire of Israel? Is it not on thee and on all thy father's house? So it means you can see somebody that is troubled and just tell them, this is what is troubling you. Last week, I saw an example of somebody talking about something that happened in our workplace. Remember that?
Yes,
right? How did they know it? Yeah? Where they live, our worlds are apart. Their group of friends are not the same. You can only know that by the Spirit. Same way the man just said, what you are looking for? So you can see, someone also said something here. I think I remember someone saying it last week. And they also said that there was something somebody did in 2019. Is that correct? Was it here? I can't remember. I have so many things in my head. But someone made a mention around something somebody did 6 years ago, and the thing is affecting the person to today. Right? You know, you can see that far. Are we together? You know, you can see the place of birth a man was giving birth to. This is where your mother gave birth to. And but in that hospital, there was somebody who did this to you and did that to you. I was saying someone minister to somebody about a man who the mother was maltreating him. And the only way the man could tell him what was happening was that when they gave birth to the guy, his biological mother exchanged the babies. How can you see that without DNA test? Yeah, I'm saying you can see by the Spirit. Say, I can see by the Spirit. Say, I can see it as a spirit. Say, I know. Are we here?
Yes,
say, I know.
I know.
I see, I hear clearly by the spirit. 1 Samuel 10:22, the next chapter. Let's just go through this and close it up. Then we'll do a lot of practice next week. 1 Samuel 10:22. When he had caused, verse 21, the trouble of Benjamin to come near by their families, the family of Machir was taken, and Saul, the son of Kish, was taken, and when they sought him, they could not be found. Verse 22, therefore they inquired of the Lord further, if the man should yet come thither, and the Lord answered, behold, he had hid himself among what? He had hid himself around what? Do you know what was happening? Let me give you a story. What was happening here was that somebody was missing, and they were looking for the person. Right? And what happened? By the Spirit, they said, behold, he had hid himself among the stuff. And they ran and fetched him there. And when he stood among the people, he was higher than any of the people from his shoulder and what? Upwards. Look at John 1:45, where we've seen severally. John 1:45. So your spiritual life should not be void of supernatural experiences. You should see and know in the Spirit. You can hear and know in the Spirit. You can say things. You can know things. Are we together? Right? Look at John 1:45. Is it? No, not 45 this time around. Look at 47. Now Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said unto him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. What did Nathanael say? Whence knowest thou me? That means what Jesus did to Nathanael was a flow of the Spirit. Altogether. The Nathanael was now asking, where do you know me from? So it's something you experience in your world today. You go out on the streets, you want to evangelize to someone, and you just give them details about their lives. And they're like, where do you know me from? Where have we spoken before? Where have we met before? Altogether, you can have these experiences. John 14:13. Whosoever shall drink of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. The man said unto him, give me this water. Then Jesus said unto him, verse 16. Jesus said unto her rather, John 14:16. Go and call your husband and come hither. What is that? Word of what? Are we here?
Yes, sir.
Are we here? Go and call your what? Go and call your husband and come hither. What did she say? The woman said unto him, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast what? Said well that you have no husband. Right? He says in verse 18, for thou hast had 5 husbands. How did Jesus know? Jesus was not micromanaging and micromonitoring her. Jesus could only know by what? By the Spirit. By word of knowledge. So Jesus knew ahead. Yes. I'm actually seeing you with 5 men. And the man you're actually with is not your husband. Yeah, yeah. So it means that how you communicate the things of the Spirit can differ. You know, you can say, I can see the name. So and so. Right? You can say, I can see the name. You can say, your name. Yeah, I remember a lady who I think I've shared this over time. Yeah, I was on the street preaching with her, she was with her boyfriend, right? And you know, she was trying to listen, but I was trying to get the attention of the guy, but he was just, you know, putting his hand in his pocket and was just doing like this. I was like, we'll preach to you today, you know. And I asked her, and I said, who's Elizabeth? So you could see his face, was like, I'm sure what he picked from there was not probably supernatural, that this was supernatural, something happened. He probably thought, I want to take his. Is it that said that one? But it could be anything. You know, so you can just meet someone and say, I can see you having to do with something around. You know the way I said, I saw a syringe, I saw a needle with her. I could have said, what does that name have to do with a nurse? I can say, who is a nurse in their family? Are they together? Right? I can as well say, I'm seeing something around. So what I communicated was my choice. I can someone wearing a white apron and a white hat. I can as well say, I'm seeing someone in the medical field.
Yeah.
Did you get that? What am I saying? I'm communicating. So Jesus will say, go and call your husband. In our words, they will say, Jesus missed it. I'm happy if that's what happens. I'm happier that way. How can I say Jesus missed it? So Jesus will now say, this is what I'm missing. No? So do you know that you can ask a question that is not related to the situation just to start the conversation? Let me say that again. You can ask a question. Wait, do you believe that Jesus, who is Jesus?
Our Lord and
Jesus is your Lord and Savior. Jesus is our Lord and Savior. Jesus is God in the flesh. Jesus knows the end from the beginning. Do you think that there's any tendency that he already knew about the five husbands?
Yes.
Before that matter, could it be that the reason for asking for a husband or go and call your husband is to just create an atmosphere of talking about marital affairs? So go on, the first question says, go and call your husband. It might not necessarily mean he does not know that she doesn't have a husband. It might be, I want to start the conversation regarding husbands with you. Did you hear what I just said?
Yes, sir.
It would just be like, oh, go and call. So you meet a man on the road, so go and call your wife. And the man says, I'm not married, I've never been married. The narrative might not be around marriage, might not be around wife, but around marriage. All together, right? I remember ministering to someone and I said something around a child, right? I said, I don't have any child. I said, but I can see a child. I said, I don't have any child. I said, but I can see a child. Apparently, what I was saying, when I now mentioned the name, it now became clear that I was talking about a child the mother had in their previous relationship. But you know, when I say I can see a child, in his mind, like, I've not born before. Yeah? But he now goes on and say, that's true, you've not given birth before, but I can see this name. So the word of knowledge and word of wisdom a lot of times acts and functions more with questions. Write that in your notes. Questions. You can ask questions. Asking questions. You can ask questions. Luke 5:22. Look at Luke 5:21. Look at Luke 5:21. Are you there? Luke 5:21. Let's just look at it quickly. It says, and the scribes and Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins about God? If you look at the background of that, you see that someone was, you know, Jesus told somebody your sins are forgiven and all of these things when he saw their faith. Look at what happened in verse 22. Jesus perceived. It says, but when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered, saying unto them, what reason ye in your heart? Altogether. That means Jesus discerned. He saw something. Even though they were not talking to him, he knew. He says, whether it is easier to say that sins be forgiven, they all rise up and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath the power on earth to forgive. He said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up your couch. And what? Go into your house. Look at Matthew 9:4. I'll read that quickly for us again. Just make sure you're writing that. Matthew 9:4. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, wherefore think ye evil in your heart? Right? He knew it would see. Look at Ananias, Acts 5. Let me just wrap up today. Acts 5:1. A certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold the possession and they kept a part of the price. His wife also being privy to it, right? That's husband and wife matter. And they brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie? So it means you can know by the Spirit where someone is lying. You can discern by the Spirit. He said, Satan has filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land. Why is it remain? Was it not your own? After you sold it, wasn't your own power? Why has thou now conceived this thing in your heart that has not lied? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And what happened? Ananias dies for it. What happens again? His wife comes later on, and the wife dies for it again. Look at Acts 9:11. I'm just going to use those scriptures to see the Holy Spirit in demonstration. It could be from a vision. You can actually be dreaming and be sleeping, and in your dream you see things. Yeah, you can have a vision. You can have open vision. You can have sleeping visions when you're asleep. Right, you can be awake, right? But the truth, like I was saying last week, if when you know is only when you sleep, it will be problematic. Because every time you want to know, you want to quickly sleep. Right? Yeah? So you need to ensure that whilst you are sensitive in your dream, can you be sensitive in your dream? Yeah, you can. Whilst you are sensitive in your dream, you know, you can have things you are not supposed to do and just know in a dream. Yeah? You just know in a dream. Yeah, I'm not supposed to take that job. I'm not supposed to marry this person. And not when you go and fill your heart with Nollywood or go and fill your heart with a bad storyline. And when somebody now start acting similar to that, you now start playing all the movies in your head. No. Say, I went somewhere, when you act like this, you will beat me. Then look at Acts 9:11. And Lord said of him, arise and go into the streets, which is called what? Streets. That's a word of knowledge. And inquire in the house of Judas for a man called Saul of Tarsus. That's a word of knowledge. For behold, he is praying. That's a word of knowledge now. You know somebody's house, you know their street address, you know their home number, and you know what they are doing in the house. That's a word of knowledge. All together. And had seen in it, he had seen in the vision a man in Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him that he might receive his sight. So we saw the gifts of faith in operation, the working of miracles as well. Right? Then God gave an instruction to Ananias. If you look through Acts 10, same thing happened with Cornelius and Peter. Right? Peter will have a vision of four beasts, four-footed beasts. Right? And that will be an instruction to God communicating. Do you know that you can know about somebody into farming, and what you are seeing is animals? Are we here? You know, you can know somebody into farming, and what you are seeing is grass, and what you are seeing is flower, and also what you are seeing can be cutlass. So you can see somebody and say, what do you have to do with cutlass? And they'll tell you, oh, I'm a farmer. I say, I slaughter people. Right? So you can see how you will say it is up to you. That's why the Bible says the spirit of a prophet is subject to a prophet. See, dear saints, learn how to refine your words. I told you a story of somebody who was ministering, right? And there was clearly a pregnant woman in front of him. And he said, what does stillbirth mean? Still, I see the word stillbirth. What does it mean? No, don't be like that. What do you mean by what? Somebody is almost 8 months pregnant and say, I'm still stillbirth. You cannot say it differently. I'm trying to say, you can see, look at Acts 11. Acts 11, 28. You can see things that are negative now. Look at Acts 11, 28. Or 27. Acts 11, 27. And it came to pass in those days came prophets from where? Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one of them named who? Acts 11, 28. Are you there? One of them named Agabus. And he what? Is signified by the Spirit that there should be a great death throughout all the world. That's what you call famine. Is that correct? Yeah. So he saw ahead that there would. So can we know the economic situation of a nation?
Yes.
Yeah. Can you? Yes, you can. But what don't you do? Don't because of that, or now turn yourself to a political prophet. Are we here?
Yes, sir.
Last week, some people failed again. Is that not true? Some people failed again last week. They will fail in the next 4 years again. Yeah? And I see angels coming from Africa to strengthen this man, for he's the chosen vessel. Yeah? So when you see things happen, can you know by the Spirit who will become the next president?
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
Can you know by the Spirit who will become the next president? Can you be so accurate in the Spirit that you know, but yet that person is not the next president?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am. You have to minister to somebody and you say, I see the name, so and so. And the person knows the name, the person will not say. I've seen it happen. You know, I can mention to somebody, I know that this thing is about. I remember one of the interested meetings. I saw something just like a trance, you know, and I just mentioned it. And I knew the persons and the people who were involved in that narrative. And they were looking at them, I looked at them, and I was looking at them, I would continue going. But I knew it was them. But what that does for you is that you don't know the after effect of what can happen from that meeting. Sometimes I'll be in a meeting like this, I'll give a call and I'll ask them about something, and everybody will keep quiet, and I'll move on. When I'm about to see somebody will not come and be panting beside me. Why are you panting? And Pastor, I'm the one you spoke about. Yeah? I mean, there's some situation. What I spoke about was not something that was embarrassing. You know, like man, say, if I say, so who is here that I sleep with? I say, a man, you sleep with 5 women in a week. I don't expect you that a man. Even if you're the man. I don't expect you to stand up. Right? And when I start pressing for that, I will embarrass you. Sometimes it's needed. You say it's needed, though. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say, when you come for meeting, be sensitive. Somebody says, do you know this thing? Just act on it. Yeah, you will not always have people who will respond immediately, but just say what you have to say. Just say what you have to say. There are several times you will give pictures about somebody, you will mention, they will forget their name. And that's how the devil works a lot of times, just by distracting you. How can a pastor ask for a name in the church, right? And the person who is spoken about for God has their middle name. Yeah, it happens. Sometimes it's just by distraction, right? But I'm trying to say, get yourself so sensitive to function. So can you know by the Spirit, right? So if somebody says there's somebody here who is sleeping with 5 women in a week, all eyes closed, all head bowed. Some of you, I know your eye will be open. Your eye will open. I can call some of your name. This eye will be doing. And the reason for bending your head is just because the center of that carry camera at least want to stop. Like your real reason is to see who is that brother that is sleeping with 5 women in this church. Without pastor is shouting and sweating. It's going to be weird. Yeah? So there's sometimes you will not, and that's why sometimes once you listen to people, you bring them privately. Altogether, so people might be struggling with certain things. You say paradigms. See, wisdom comes in. Wisdom comes in very much when it comes to ministry through the Spirit. So I got more so by the Spirit that there will be no food around the world. Now, what did they do on that? They acted on it because of the Spirit in the human world. Look at verse 29. Disciples, every man according to his what ability, they determined to send relief to the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders. By the hands of who? Saul and Barnabas. Altogether. So it means the flow of the Spirit is something that you can actually get yourself involved with. You can see into the past, you can see into the future. I wrote a few points here. I'll just skim read through all of them just so that I can wrap up this for today. And I wanted to have this track as a track that will help to anybody can pick it up and be able to know how to flow with word of knowledge and word of wisdom. So that's why I went to pick out some examples from the writings of the prophets and also from the apostles as well, Jesus. So, for word of knowledge and word of wisdom, you can know direct information about people's lives. You can receive certain solutions and speak certain solutions to a particular problem that needs to be solved. Yeah? You can receive a certain solution to a particular problem that needs to be solved. You can give specific solutions to a problem at your place of work. Yeah? You can know where not to go to. You can know what job not to take. You can find things that are missing. Find people that are missing by the Spirit. You can see by the Spirit. You can speak about specific or current situations happening in people's lives. Current circumstances or situations happening in people's lives. You can seek it and see it by the Spirit. You can reveal by the Spirit a past issue in someone's life to bring them into complete freedom. You know, when you talk about the truth of those situations, right? So one of the things you also see, or you should get as a message behind the scene, is that God is intentional about you. If someone by the Spirit gives an information about you, about your family, see it as a privilege that God is intentional about you, that God cares about you, God loves you. Altogether, that God loves you. So it's something that you pay a lot of attention to, right? Now, you can also know about times, places, events, to identify people in trouble or where people will go to and they will end up in trouble. You can save and know by the Spirit. You can bring counsel and comfort to someone who has just got a tragedy, right? So you can see someone who just lost someone that's close to them. I just know by the Spirit. I could just see someone, you know, who lost so and so, and you know, this wasn't happening, that's going to happen. Let me say this in 2025, yeah? Be very, very careful, right, of the things you listen to in the next year. More than ever before. Be very, very careful. Altogether. I said something around a wind. Have I said that here before? A wind is going to blow. Have I said that before?
Yeah.
A wind is going to blow in 2025. Yeah. It will fine-tune our prayer at the early part of the year. Right? We'll know what to do. But please be careful of the things you say, the things you hear, particularly in the next year. I don't want to go more than this so it doesn't put any fear in anybody. Yeah? But you rely more on your relationship with God next year. Yeah? More. That means build your greatest form of solace and comfort from your relationship with God in the coming year. Praise God. Yeah. So, you know, we can see things by the Spirit, know things by the Spirit, bring comfort to our hearts. Are we together? Yeah, you can know this is what will happen, but you can rejoice in the fact that Christ is enough for you. You can rejoice in the fact that your sins are forgiven forever. Yeah, you can also use, you can also minister with the word of God, wisdom, knowledge to avert or divert tragic situations in your own life or even the life of others. Yeah, to bring instructions to divert a tragic situation or to, you know, avert something terrible. Amen. Amen. To avert something terrible. To avert something terrible. You can as well, for word of knowledge, word of wisdom, know about diseases and sicknesses of people, right? And bring what healing with God's word to them. Yeah? You can know by the Spirit people that are, what people are going through. You can know by the Spirit. Yeah? You can know by the Spirit. You can see this by the Spirit. Like I always say, ensure not to get yourself in a place where you are looking for evidence to prophetic words. Don't always try to look for evidence. Don't get yourself satisfied in ministry only when someone says, I'm the person you are talking about. Yeah? Because you have different kinds of people in the local assembly or in your meeting or you meet. So people, you will tell them, you know, I remember meeting somebody one time and after I finished giving some details about the person's life, the person was just looking at me. She was just looking at me. Okay? But she was wise enough to know to ask me to continue. Okay, what do you want to say about it? She didn't admit any of the things I had said. Do you understand? She didn't admit it, but I don't know, maybe they thought I'm partly. She was wise enough to say, okay, because some people, when you say, who is this, who is that, who is this, who is that, and nobody identifies, you will now stop them. No, try not to give it an end. Just say it. Just sow the words. A lot of times what happens is that when people now leave, you know, you can't lie to yourself. You meet somebody, you're meeting for the first time, you say you have a back rash on your back, and every time you scratch it, blood comes out. How did you know? Right? Yeah? So you can just say, I'm going to just lay hands with you, I just hold hands with the person, I just say, if you see God's in right now, everything dries up. That person will go back home and go and check the mirror, it dries up. They might not come and look for you. So don't be always looking for testimony time.
Are we here?
Let your ministration of the things of the Spirit be an end in itself. Just say it. Just say it. Yeah? And I said, and for word of wisdom, simply you can just put it as bringing supernatural impartation of facts, guidances, and solutions, right, from word of knowledge. Then now helping, right? Helping, right, with the solutions, applications, or actions that needs to be done going forward. So word of wisdom basically is providing help, right, to situations that can be done or can be averted, actions that can be taken. Praise God forever. Amen. So I'm going to bless this morning. So you can see in the Spirit, you can hear in the Spirit, but where does all these things start from? What's the first sign?
Tongues.
Tongues is an expression of what? Rest.
All together.
Right? Right? So say, I've come into my rest. Everyone together, let's say together. Say, I've come into my rest. I've come into salvation. I'm forever in the place of rest. Say, I operate from the place of rest. I see in the Spirit. I know in the Spirit. I hear things in the Spirit. And I communicate through God's wisdom clearly to bring exhortation, to bring exhortation, to bring edification, and to bring comfort whose heart is in him.